Las Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Find us and other great podcasts at www.foreverdogpodcasts.com.
And if you're loving what you're hearing, subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts.
And while you're there, please write us a nice review and give us a 5-star rating.
Thank you all!
Thank you all!
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
We're living in a nightmare, huh?
We're living in a fucking hellscape.
It's dark in the world.
Oh my god, today was one of the angriest days of my life.
Yeah, I feel almost really insane and self-conscious that we started off so, like, woo, isn't it bad?
No,
like,
I mean,
no, it's bad.
That's kind of the
literally...
only way. We're all a laugh away from a tear. You guys, we're recording this on August 15th, 2017, the day that Donald Trump thought that the Robert E. Lee statue should not have gone down.
The term alt-left has been created.
So let's check back in about 5 years when we all are buried under rubble.
Stop.
And,
I don't like that talk.
Well, okay, maybe this is something you can, I don't think so, honey, later.
I think maybe you're right. Okay. Maybe we just realized that I was just kicking around the fact, you know, kicking the dirt because I didn't have an I don't think so, honey.
That's
but
okay.
Now I think I do.
And here's what we do.
Several.
Here's what we do in times of darkness. We
what?
Bring on, this is what we've done before. We bring in the light.
In.
We pray in. We are praying here. And we bring in the light. The light is here today.
It's true. In times of dark, you need light. In fact, that's actually rule number
three
of culture.
In times of dark, you need light. The light or
and
light?
Open to interp. Okay. Open to interp. Now listen, we have the light here in the studio.
She's here.
She's here
coming
in the
into the light.
Yes! Okay, wait, hold on, you. Before you come
the
to
light.
What the hell? Literally, as if it's kismet or something, the light's just turned off.
That's
in the studio.
That's so funny.
Okay, so listen. Who's this fiend whose voice you hear in the back?
Let's go through the credits.
Let's listen to the credits. Okay, she's a writer for a little ditty called Saturday Night Live.
A little ditty called Saturday Night Live.
A little ditty cultural institution called Saturday Night Live. You know it. You love it. Hopefully. And also, she's written for Prairie Home Companion. Mm. You've seen her work on the amazing show Night Late at UCB. It's a monthly show that basically creates a new late night television show based around a different celebrity guest. It's super fun.
So
and actually,
fun.
I want to get into it with you a little bit about a certain guest I heard almost had a show there.
Oh yeah, baby. Happy to talk about
and,
that.
You know, I've been getting into the Real Housewives of New York, so I'm down.
Super.
And also, UCB Mod Night, writer for that for a couple years, yeah. And also the amazing long-running show, critically acclaimed, right?
Yes.
Dead Dad's Club at UCB, and it was an incredible show. And remember it fondly. Everyone, this is an amazing guest. I'm so excited.
Please welcome
Kristen Bartlett.
Yay! Hi, guys.
And just slayed it at our live show as well.
Oh yeah.
It was so much fun.
Oh, my God. Thin people.
Oh, I hate them.
Aren't they the worst? And
in
get
so
it.
Many ways.
Ooh, and you Instagrammed a screen cap of your notes for
I
the
did,
stuff that you didn't get to.
Oh, my God. I write so much extra always. And then I didn't get to like talk about being on an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's very stressful.
What? Sure. The looks that thin people give?
That people give you when you're walking down the aisle like, dear God, please not let this fatty like sit
God
beside
damn
me.
It.
I know. It's terrible.
I just want to say, and this is not like me virtue signaling, I've never had that thought. Like, that's what a shitty fucking thought.
You are a virtue signaler.
I'm a virtue signaler.
You are a virtue signaler and you deserve to burn.
Aye!
Got fire.
I totally get it.
So
there's like
shitty.
No one that, I mean, like when a mom comes through with a baby, I'm like, it's okay.
Yes.
It's fine.
Really?
I am really because traveling sucks for everybody.
Ultimately, you're fine.
It's like 4 hours, maybe 8 if you're going somewhere good.
Oh, wait. Kristen's going somewhere good.
Where are you going somewhere good?
I'm going to Belgium tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Wait, what did
you
think?
And you know what I thought you were going to say, bitch.
Wait,
I
what?
Thought you
what
would
is
have,
this?
I thought you would have said Disney World.
Oh, that's so funny. No, we're probably going to go in January, though.
What? You are? Okay, I want to go in January.
Can we go?
Let's please go.
Why January for you?
for me, it's January because it's like warm outside, but it's not too hot, and that's what I care about. I want, as a big girl, I want to traverse sure. the world yes. far and wide comfortably. Yes. The lines are down; it's not bad. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And one thing I just like to do, I like to chill at a like cheese ball hotel restaurant and drink for hours.
Yeah, I mean, same. Nice, okay, so listen. Here's the thing about January in Orlando.
Post-Christmas, it's the rush has died down a little bit.
And not the marathon week.
But sometimes it can get truly cold. In fact, I distinctly remember a time when my family went to SeaWorld, and we were in...
Well, you shouldn't have gone.
No, well, literally... First of all, I will say that this was far before the... Wolves came to get the really fun Shamu show. Okay, it was really fun, and the wolves
The whales
a trainer loved it. They loved it. Dawn loved it. She was so happy.
In the 90s, they were so happy.
Honestly, it was literally a nightmare. But okay, so I wasn't there for all that. Aquamarine. I just literally. Made that into one word. A queen.
Telecom.
Honestly, I probably did see Telecom because we did see the Shamu show before we knew that it was insane.
Do you think they just like pushed his parkas out to sea?
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yes. Let, you know, other whales eat it. That's the lie. Oh, but something else ate him.
Oh, well, I went for the rides because they actually have really good rides.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, but...
It is ridiculous, but look, Kristen, you can't argue with it. They have good rides.
Just so listeners know, Kristen here is a fellow Orlando head.
Yeah.
She and her husband, Jason, and Michael Hartney, past guest of the show.
Yeah, we went to Disneyland. The whole cast of Dead Dad's Club went to Disneyland together.
And you've gone to World together, too, right?
We went to World, not with Hartney, but with Scott Reynolds.
Oh, fun.
I will go with anyone because it's not a couple's vacation. You've got to go with people.
Yes, we will. No, but Kristen.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt's kind of hopped on board, too.
I will go. I invited myself with that, literally. Too.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. We're planning this. Here's the thing. Like, I was into this, but not too crazy into it. And then Jason had never been to Disney World because his parents were abusive. And they took him to, like, Gettysburg. Like, they kept taking him to, like, educational battlefields.
Yeah.
His whole childhood.
Watching an actor pretend to be, like, a Confederate soldier.
Yes, that's what they did, like, all his life. And then finally, I'm the one that took him to Disney World, and he fell in love with it. Oh, and he likes it so much that I actually like it less.
No.
You can't share the love?
I'm like, like he's always like on these sites, and when you go to like
the sites,
it's fine, but it's like, come on, there's like a line. And also I love it, but I'm not gonna YouTube a ride walkthrough.
Oh my god, I was doing that literally yesterday all day for like three hours.
That's what he does.
Just for the fans at home, I haven't left my apartment in 48 hours. And I do want to say the majority of the things I've watched in the last 48 hours are Real Housewives of New York.
Uh-huh.
I can talk so
Bachelor in Paradise and ride-throughs of Disney park attractions mostly in foreign countries that I'll never see.
That is truly, like, when we were planning on going to Paris, I had to cancel the trip because I had SNL. but when we were going, that was like just like a thing that he was just, I know, it was devastating. It was kind
it's
of.
It's truly bad.
And we ate so much money. Like, it was like so
God.
But he was like really pressuring me to go to Euro Disney, and I'm like, oh, like, that's ridiculous to go to Paris and do that, but I guess it's fine.
Yeah, because Euro Disney is bullshit.
No, apparently the Ratatouille ride is supposed to be amazing.
And I love Ratatouille. I do love Ratatouille.
Well, you know that's coming to Epcot.
Oh.
Did you hear that announcement?
I hadn't heard. That's huge.
You are not a diehard.
Okay, well,
maybe we should have booked Jason Gore.
Stop
I don't know.
It!
I don't know.
He was really jealous. He did give me a look.
He gave you a look?
Because he knows he crushed it, too. He was like,
oh, he
really?
He crushed it.
He did amazing.
He got vegetables. He drew vegetables.
That
out
was
of
insane.
It was so
I
funny.
Pulled out of the bowl. I saw vegetables, and I was like, oh, my God.
It was mean and wonderful. No, my favorite thing is about Disney World, and I love going because I love the smell of Disney World. It never smells
amazing. I love the smell.
And it never smells like vomit. Like, Six Flags smells like puke everywhere
disgusting.
You go. And I love, like, the apples. I love those chocolate caramel-covered apples. They
They're
are so good.
So, and I will put someone on blast, Timothy Dunn, who came for us. He said, childless adults at Disney World. I don't think so, honey. And he can actually go fuck himself to death.
Yeah.
Because... There's a lot to enjoy as an adult in Disney World and in Orlando at large.
And there's a lot to hate about Disney World when you have kids, I feel like. It's harder on parents when you have them.
I'm not bringing my kids.
Although, no, but Tina Fey says something fun because I think her favorite place to vacation is Disney World. And she
said something funny?
Stop. And then she said, Disney World is her favorite place to go on vacation because it's the only place you can go to when no one's like, why you gotta bring your kid in here? Yeah, it's like everyone's on the same
page. And also kids, when you're like real rich, you can just hire someone to like guide you and get you on all the rides.
Right, right.
Yes, oh, okay, so that's my probable goal is to one day be
your professional
so,
goal.
So rich that I can do like the VIP tours for like $350 a day on top of your ticket, which is
it's
like
worth it.
And here's the behind the scenes look at this.
Yeah, that's worth it.
We got the behind the scenes look at Tower of Terror. We've talked about this a million times. But Matt, I have a question to ask you now that Kristen's brought this up with Jason. Do you feel a little annoyed when I am very Disney, when I'm a Disney stan?
Do you feel like Disney? No, not at all.
I'm stepping on you at all?
For me, it's like when other people get excited about it, that makes me more excited.
Oh, good.
I felt that way about Michael Hartney. Michael Hartney is the reason that we went to Disney World in the first place because we were doing Dad's Club at the time, and like every damn day he would have some sort of Disney news, and I got really excited. But there's something about seeing like your husband and like hoping what you hope look at ride-throughs. There's something about it that you're just like, I don't care, but I hate Star Wars for one thing. I hate it.
You hate the Star Wars? Just the franchise?
I don't need it. I didn't grow up with it. It's not my thing. And now when I see it, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care.
That's interesting.
Is there a thing about it that you don't like, or is it just that
space?
Kind of...
Space?
You don't like space.
I think anyone who goes to space
I don't
like
the Wild West.
Deserves it. You don't like... I agree with you on
no,
the Wild
No, you know
West.
What? I do like the Wild West-ish. I like Westworld-ish. You know what I hate? Medieval. Anything medieval. It's why I can't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, I can't watch it either.
You guys.
I hate medieval anything. I always feel like someone's going to throw up blood.
You're equating you're equating medieval with high fantasy too, right? Like,
see, high fantasy, here's the deal with high fantasy. That umbrella, I think, takes up more. Like, Harry Potter is high fantasy.
Okay, but Lord of the Rings you would never read.
I would never be on board with Lord of the Rings.
Bores me to tears.
Yeah, it's so boring. And I watched the first movie and I was like, this is ridiculous.
It's boring.
They are too long, honey.
They're so long. There's no reason. For a ring?
For
what?
A ring.
Can you believe there's three movies and they're all 18 hours long each?
Could you not learn to condense? That's on you. Like, that's on Tolkien.
People have died watching those movies.
Stop. But you,
a lot of people.
You can't... The thing about Lord of the Rings is that they did not split the last installment into two, which is this new bullshit trend that everybody knows about, of course. Mm-hmm. But you gotta respect that they condensed it enough to keep it to three.
It was still like 3 hours.
It was.
I only saw the first one.
That is true. That is a thing I don't like, which is milking the money out of like cutting things into two when you don't really need to.
Although they did that with The Hobbit.
I do think I did not see any of The Hobbit.
There was no way that I would ever see The Hobbit.
No, like it's not a thing. Although you know what literally almost made me go see it?
What?
Liv Tyler? No. Oh, Evangeline Lilly.
Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah. Okay.
The fact that Evangeline Lilly was in it, that's so funny that you literally knew.
I knew.
I was a Lost fanatic. Did you love Lost?
I loved Lost until the end.
Right.
Or until, like, honestly, like, 3/4 of the way in. When I get mad when I feel like I'm being used. Like,
it's one of the great tragedies of television.
It absolutely is.
Oh, yeah.
It was so interesting and exciting. And then you know when you're just being hurt by these people. And I can't.
When did you know?
Yeah.
God, I feel like when the polar bears just disappeared, like that was no longer a thing, remember?
And they just
I think
never
for
it.
Me, for me it
they
was...
They were tired of CGIing it?
I didn't watch it.
For me, I was with it or I was nothing. Pretending to be with it through about season 5.
Okay, and that's later than me.
There was an episode where they were time traveling throughout time in the same episode, and then a character, Charlotte, ends up dying because she time travels too much. And then that's when I realized,
Flatliners.
Like,
that's what that is.
Oh, my God. We saw the trailer for Flatliners.
Oh, yeah. I can't.
I've seen the trailer, like, 10 times. Every movie has Flatliners before.
The thing about... Hold on.
Let me
finish my last thought, and then we'll get to Flatliners. Because, trust me, there's a lot to unpack about Flatliners and all these horror movie trailers that are coming out. Especially Happy Death Day, which we'll discuss.
We will talk about this.
I haven't seen that
one. Oh, we'll pitch it to you. We'll give you the elevator pitch, and we'll see if you're on board, because I might not be. Here's the thing with Lost. All of a sudden, there were... No rules.
Yeah.
No rules.
Right.
Anything. Once you have time travel and alternate timelines, and a mysterious island, and
people are
any age, and a smoke monster, it's like, oh, okay. So literally, if a character is dead, they are not dead.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. And they didn't do... Not even that they didn't do a good job explaining it. They didn't do a job explaining it.
You know what's cool about... This is the one thing that I liked about Lost in my short, spurts tenure. Of watching it. In my short tenure spurts of watching it. The season 3 finale where the flashbacks were flash forwards and you realized at the end, I was like, that is genius.
One of the best episodes of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Very early on, I mean, it was like an interesting, exciting show and then it went crazy and there's just no need.
Yeah. I sometimes tell people, everyone's like, should I watch Lost? And I'm like, yes, just stop at the season 3 finale. Pretend it ends on a cliffhanger.
That's so
literally,
funny.
You can enjoy it like that.
I feel the way that way about Hills. The Hills.
The Hills,
when Lauren, which I just rewatched.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
In its entirety because Siesta Key is coming out and it made me want to.
What is Siesta Key?
Siesta Key is New Hills. It's a Florida, The Hills on MTV.
Oh,
on
Siesta
Key.
It's a Florida version of The Hills?
In Florida, it's K-E-Y.
Oh!
But it is Siesta Key.
Yeah,
and, there's a Florida version of it, but they're not characters yet. There's no LC. I went back and I went watch The Hills, and I feel like when Lauren Conrad goes off, you can let it go.
You know who was in the audience of I Don't Think So, Honey?
Lauren Conrad?
No, our friend Lo Bosworth.
Lo Bosworth.
Lo! I just tweeted about Lo.
And she?
Shut up.
She was there.
She was there.
We need to meet her. I need to meet her. Because it's so funny.
She almost did one.
I shouldn't say she's our friend. She's Greta Teilman, who fucking slayed.
Killed it.
Her friend.
Her podcast co-host. And
I had no idea.
We had a bunch of, you know, dropouts the day of, and it was kind of like a scramble.
Yeah.
And so beautifully, Jason Gore, your husband, stepped in.
Yes.
But also, we asked Greta, we were like, would Lo want to do one? And then she was like, and this might be too much tea that's being spilled. I think it's fine.
Spill it.
No, it's fine. She was like, we asked her the day of, and of course, everyone we asked the day of was like, I don't know. It's a nerve-wracking experience
because
the pressure's on.
And I made Jason. Like, I told you guys that he was available, and then I texted him. I was like, you're doing this.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't have anything. I said, pick it out of the bowl.
Pick it out of the bowl. I love that we said, Kristen, tell him to pick a topic. And she goes, he'll do the ball. I said to Bo, and I'm like, I love that she just goes, he'll do the ball.
I'm a manager.
You are the manager.
It's fine.
Okay, so wait. Quickly, let's get you up to speed on Happy Death Day.
Okay.
Happy Death Day.
I have the elevator.
Go
pitch
to
for
do
this.
It, do it, do it, do it.
Imagine Groundhog's Day, The Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's about a teen girl who gets murdered, and she has to relive the day that she dies. And
over
wake
and over
up.
To make
it's her birthday.
Not die.
Yes. It's her birthday every day. She lives her birthday, and at the end of the day, at her party, she gets murdered
by someone in a baby mask.
So she has to figure out who is going to kill her in order to stop
right.
it.
So she wakes up the next day, and she thinks it's a dream, and she kind of like lives the day, and she's like, "I'm having crazy deja vu," and she realizes that she's living the same fucking day, and then she gets killed again, and it happens again and again and again. So she's consciously living each day as if she's gonna die.
I kind of like
which,
that.
To be honest with you,
I think it's not a bad
crazy
idea.
Crazy genius concept.
Yeah.
And also, I don't usually like horror movies, but I like that it's taking place in teen girl world, which I love. So that makes me get on board.
Totally new actress too.
Right. Oh, I've seen her in stuff. She's great.
She was in La La Land as one, I think, in like a background part. Maybe she might have been one of her roommates.
The roommates.
Barely seen
Jessica
roommates.
Roth is her name. Rothe.
Nice. She's been in stuff. She's good. And I think it's just a nice high concept thing. And I would
watch
it. When
does it come out?
Oh, probably around Halloween.
Friday the 13th.
I feel like movie trailers are happening way early. Because I saw a Girls Trip trailer in February. And I got excited.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Before Get Out. Isn't that kind of wrong?
Oh, my God.
Isn't that kind of wrong?
Well, Get Out came out in, like, what, May, April?
I mean, I can totally see why. It's largely probably the same audience.
Was it May or April? It felt cold outside, so I assumed it was February.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't, though. Can we look it up?
I read today that Girls Trip just passed 100 mil at the domestic box office.
It was fantastic. Have you seen it?
Yeah, we've seen it.
We saw it.
It's so much fun.
It was so fun.
I really liked it. I think that there will be a sequel that is much higher budget.
For sure.
Yes, because the budget on this movie all went to Jada. We talked about this on the live episode.
We did.
All went to Jada's salary.
That was clear.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Also, I'm sure Queen Latifah commands quite a paycheck.
She's such a hero. I thought it was so funny and it was so full of heart. And, like, the moments, that's a movie to see in the theater. And, the moments are so friggin', like, laugh out loud funny.
There were a few times where Bo and I looked at each other like, what the fuck is going
like
on?
When Tiffany...
I saw this with Hartney, had the best time.
Great, of
I'm
course
sure.
you did.
Sure.
But the zipline piss thing, like, when Tiffany pisses,
I
was
so
like, what is that? I was like, what's happening?
It's like water balloons being burst, and then a second person pees for no reason.
Yeah. It's like, okay,
that's
but
an R-rated movie. You got to put it in there.
Yeah. Totally. But as soon as you realize, okay, it's a goofy movie, like everything's kind of elastic, then
we're
it's great.
Here
then
to have fun. And also, I loved that, like, sketchy naked guy early on.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There was hot guys in that
hot
movie.
Dudes.
There were a lot of hot guys. That one was that one.
No.
That guy who, like, waves his peen in the window.
Oh, yeah. No. He was horrifyingly not hot.
People were screaming.
I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah, it was wild. We were like, oh, my God.
And everyone in the movie, all the characters were like this. And that's the thing I love.
That's his impression.
That's great.
Have you seen, we talked about this at the live show too, have you seen Kidnap yet?
No.
You must go see Kidnap.
Really?
Las Coach Reese's
You got the wrong kid. I know that.
You got the wrong kid.
You picked the wrong kid. Which is like,
they
what?
They really did.
All kids are wrong to pick.
No, but Kristen, really you see up. It. They picked the wrong one. Because not every mother is physically capable of doing what Halle Berry does in this movie. She truly showed them that they picked the wrong kid. Had they picked another kid,
they might have gotten away with it.
Probably they would have.
That's hilarious.
Probably they would have. Because Halle Berry, there's something special about her. I don't know.
About Halle Berry.
She was able to get them. Also, talk about two real trumps kidnapped the kid. Of course, they come out looking like true
fucking
trash. The screenwriters and the director was like, yeah, we're gonna make them real trumps.
I think the movie was shot in like 2014 or something, right?
Yeah, it's like shot like literally 90 years ago.
Yeah. Kristen, we're finally gonna ask you what we ask all of our guests.
Yeah, 20 minutes in.
20 minutes in. What is the culture that made you think culture is for me?
A young Kristen.
Okay, so I feel like this is very, very early, and I don't know if you guys will know it, but do you guys know The Elephant Show?
Okay, describe it.
Okay, there's this show on... Wait. I'm combining two things. One, okay, I really...
Barbar? Are you talking about Barbar?
I wasn't. Isn't it Baybar?
Whatever.
Barbar.
Barbar.
I fucking love elephants.
That sounds like some dumb queen who can't say Barbara.
Barbar.
You sound like a dumb queen who can't even say Barbara.
There was an elephant show on Nickelodeon.
That is how
Yes, I remember the elephant show.
Which was like a live action Sharon Lois and Bram.
Oh my God. In Canada, people worshipped them.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I worshipped them here.
Yes.
And then at the same time, also, there was a show called Dumbo Circus, which was a live action on Disney Channel, live action Dumbo. And there was like a big fake Dumbo.
Oh my God, the lights just went off again.
The lights just went off again.
This has never happened. Okay.
Is it so late?
It's so late.
Yeah, I'm so excited. But this was like 88, 89, so.
Yeah, but no, but I think The Elephant Show like went into, at least it just, I mean, as a kid growing up, it just like, I just watched it back to back. It must have been like syndicated on
whatever. Yeah, like for life.
For life.
So those are the two things that like really got me. And I remember going, when I had to go to kindergarten, because this was pre-kindergarten, it was like a little bebo. Uh-huh. And when I went to kindergarten, I was so stressed. I would make my mom tape it. She would have to record it on the VCR so that when I got home, I could watch The Elephant Show and Dumbo Circus. And one day in kindergarten, I cried. Oh. And the teacher was like, why are you crying? And I was like, I was just really worried that the VCR wasn't going to record it.
Oh, yeah. I was right there with you.
I cared about TV so early.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that my parents, like... Like, that's so bad, but I loved that. I loved The Monkees, which was in reruns. I had a crush on Davy Jones.
Oh, really?
Who
oh
was
my
probably
God.
Like 30 at the time, and I had a crush on his child version.
My mom loved him. She had a picture of Davy Jones.
I
on
love,
her wall.
Yeah.
Wow, my sister had a Monkees phase, and I was like, this is from a century ago.
It is though. I was so horny for him, and I was only five.
But there was definitely a thing of like, at the time, I think we were younger. Like there was a lot. Of that kind of 1970s and 1980s, even 1960s, like television on and readily available.
Yeah,
like,
Nick at Night, Nickelodeon
yes.
and stuff.
And
yeah.
You know what fucking kills me? That no one knows about, like,
there's no way to
Gilligan's
surface
that. Island
yeah.
now. No one
oh,
knows
yeah.
about I Love Lucy now.
We were
none of these
raised on that.
None of these young girls yeah. coming up.
These young girls.
These young girls.
They do not know.
Don't even know about Lucille Ball.
Also, one thing that I love is that Jason's Jason's older than me by 5 years. Ha ha. But
LOL.
We're just shitting on Jason.
Sugar daddy.
He's gonna have to watch it. Listen to it.
A little bit of a sugar daddy.
Okay.
Tiny
except,
bit.
Except no.
But bless.
We just said Jason was poor. Okay.
We didn't say that. You said that.
No.
We didn't say that.
You said it, honey.
You can't even
it.
Say Barbara. You fucking
you can't
old
even
ass
get your
dumb.
Life. Shut the
dumb,
fuck up.
Dumb stupid queen.
Okay.
Comes to the Barbara Streisand concert saying I'm singing Barbara Streisand. That's how he is an idiot.
I can say Streisand just fine.
You can't say it right now.
Jason does very well. He's doing great.
Say it right now. Say Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand.
Wrong.
Wait,
that wasn't it.
We need to get back on track. This
oh my god. Okay. So
dumb queen.
His little sister. He has a little sister, so he knows all about the dumb shit that I grew up
oh,
with.
Great.
Which I think is very important because I like to be able to say, like, because I feel like you have, like, these weird flashes of something weird that you watch, and
yeah.
you have to find mm-hmm. out what it is, and he has, like, a good knowledge of it.
Oh, that's good. Wait, how young is his sister?
She is maybe 26.
Okay.
25. Yeah. So he was able to re-experience all of those things. He was 12 years old when she was a baby. So he and he was like a good older brother who hung out with his little sister uh-huh. and took care of her. So like he's got all of these dumb things and he remembers them.
That's
okay,
useful though.
Yeah.
I think it's I remember like when I was in London, people loved me because people in London love fat girls.
Okay.
And I really did very well there in college. And I remember like going out on dates with guys and we had a totally different like understanding of culture and knowledge and like shows. And I hated it. I couldn't get on board. I don't want to get to know your stuff.
Because your love language is pop culture and
it's
culture.
100p. Like you have to know what I know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like I have these like weird visions of like in Dumbo's circus, there's this one scene. I know you have no idea what this is.
No,
but and I have no idea.
No,
why.
But I don't describe it because I want to know.
There's like
about
this
it.
One scene where they fly over a desert that's made of ice cream.
That sounds fabulous.
It's live action.
It's live action. It's for children.
I don't believe
it. It is. I swear. There's a computer nearby. Bless you. It's real, and I haven't seen it since I was a little kid. So maybe it is animated. But I think it is live action because I think it was like a soft elephant.
I would be curious as to how they pulled off a desert made out of ice cream.
It was like
action.
Round puppety mm-hmm. ice cream.
Like a felt thing?
Like a felt.
Wait, I don't know about this.
This is a question. Hold on. I want to ask an actual question.
Okay, ask an actual question.
I think there's something really real to this thing that Kristen is talking about. Like these visions, these flashbacks to like kid, just random ass kid stuff that you would watch. Did any of you watch Pingu? Either of you watch Pingu on
no,
PBS? Oh,
but I know what it is.
Yeah, but they...
Do you have, like, visions of it?
I have visions of it, and I just have visions of just yeah, like, being, like, not going to school because I was sick and just staying and watching that because, we didn't have cable.
Yeah.
And Bob Ross and shit came on all the time. Loved Bob Ross.
I did, too.
Yeah, Bob Ross was on. Also, you know what is a show that I literally remember, like... Gullah Gullah Island.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yes,
I don't remember a single thing about
that. But
the
just that one
show.
Part.
Yeah.
3-2-1 Contact and Ghost Rider were on PBS too.
Ghost Rider, yes.
I was just talking to someone on Grindr today about Ghost Rider.
Why would you?
That was their username, and my username right now is, I think, like Dumb Fat Baby.
Yes,
it's
it
like
is.
A holdover from like
cause you,
old
cause
dating
you gotta
app
have
days.
A hook. You gotta have a gimmick.
Sure, it's
on
a
Grindr.
Conversation starter.
Brand.
And this person was asking me what the name was, and I was like, oh, it's just like a. It's like an old username that I.
You should have been like Google Gaga.
Yeah, I should have been like Barbar, and then his username was Ghost Rider, and I was like, "What's the meaning behind your name?" And he said, "The show." And I don't think I ever watched it.
That's so funny.
I
and
did,
nerdy.
But again, it's one of those things where it's like I could not tell you anything about.
There was basically a ghost that gave these crime-fighting kids information by
right.
like writing on computers.
Right.
It was
right.
a ghost
That's
writer.
That's insane.
It's insane.
It feels like it doesn't have a lot of legs. Like
it went on for a while. And I certainly watched it. I love that scene from Freaks and Geeks where the kid goes home and eats like food in front of his TV show. Do you know that scene?
Yes.
I haven't
isn't
seen
it. Isn't the pilot? No.
I think it is. It's early on.
Yeah, okay.
I love that scene so much and I relate to it so much because I was a latchkey kid. I was a poor kid.
Aww.
And I would come home from like school, walk home from school, open up the door, make myself a big snack, and watch like Oprah.
What were the snacks? Oh, and thank God for Oprah.
Thank God. You know what I loved? Hickory Farms beef stick.
Fucking love beef sticks. I still fuck with bagel bites. And that was
oh,
my
yes.
snack of choice, TV snack of choice growing up.
Totally.
Just a dozen bagel bites on a fucking plate, and they were soggy and wet because they were in the microwave.
In the microwave only.
Yes.
Or like a piece of white bread with a piece of cheese on it. No.
I ask you this. Ask you this.
Okay.
Did your parents ever put juice in those little canisters in the freezer and make a juice pop?
Yeah, of course.
Love.
Oh, orange juice. Yeah. But not like canisters. Like,
what do you
like
call
a tray,
that?
Like an ice tray.
A little popsicle tray.
Yes, like a popsicle tray.
We had all of the dumb bullshit plastic stuff that would make nonsense.
Yes.
But yeah, we did do that too.
It's insane how much juice and soda I drank as a child.
Like, I look
back and I'm like, the 90s were a fucking crazy, cracked out time. I would be in the basement in my house watching Nickelodeon running around in circles because I was so hyped up on soda because it was in the house every day. I probably drank a liter of it every day. I'm not kidding. Just running around. Like, I remember the first time I ever saw the Backstreet Boys on television. I just didn't know what I was feeling.
That's a lot.
Like, rubbing my dick on the ground and like running around being like, woo! Like, not understanding.
Just fueled by sugar and horniness.
Yes, and every show was the best show. Legends of the Hidden Temple, best show.
Yes.
Double Dare, best
These
show.
These are great things.
Like, Do You Have It, Guts, best show. And I was just like, yes, yes. And I was just so excited to see other kids run around.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I love that always the trip would be... Like, all of these shows happened in Orlando. Like,
yes! Oh, my God! Filmed live at Universal Studios, Florida. And I would come. I would come as a child. I would say, I would see the goop fountain.
No.
I would come so hard as a kid.
We got to rein this in. This
no, I'd be a little kid having soda and coming.
No.
Because Backstreet Boys performed live in front of the goop fountain at Universal Studios, Florida.
Did you ever see them live?
No, not to this day.
I did.
When? With New Kids on the Block? No.
No, this was, I feel like, oh my God, I'm lying to you guys, but I feel like someone like Cisco level open. No, Dream open.
Oh, Dream.
You gotta know what he wants. Me gonna know what he's got.
Yeah,
he's gonna know what he wants. He loves me.
he loves you not.
None of those words are right, but like that's okay.
I love that song. I was more of an NSYNC fan. I saw them a bunch.
NSYNC?
Yes.
They were better.
I loved them so much, but I won free tickets to Backstreet Boys because my dad, there was this contest, the Backstreet Dads contest at the mall, Asheville Mall.
Oh my God.
And I knew that my dad was such a ham. I was like, I knew if I got him in that contest, I would win because he was such a performer.
Yeah.
And
shit.
Like an inside performer. And so we dressed him up and he did it and he got it done.
You dressed him up as an NSYNCer?
No, this was Backstreet Boys. So he was, my dad was Howard. So he was Howie B.
Howie B.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And like he really went for it. And to such a degree that he was the clip of, like, it went out on the AP. And he was, like, the ESPN clip of the day. They would play him on the hour.
He was in the wire services.
He was all over. He went on the AP. He was back in the day. This was news. This was the bright, shining news that could happen on the local news. And we went to see the Backstreet Boys, and that's where I saw my first dick because, because on our way, it was me and three other girls. This guy was driving beside us, and he saw a bunch of like girls.
No.
And he lifted. He was masturbating and driving, and he lifted up his dick. And we all screamed bloody murder, but it was fine.
No,
we were more happy than
you guys were. Like,
literally, girls trip. That's literally what
we
did,
yes.
And it was fine. I was not hurt by it.
Okay. I think you need to unpack this. Still,
I'm still.
But
okay.
We can't speak for the other girls. We have to find them. We have
we
to
all
get their story.
Was, right, I think right, it was right. funny, and they're fine. It was a dick through dick through a window.
Dick through a window. Okay, so on my way here, pal of the show, Brandon Scott Jones, two-time canceller of the live show.
Two-time canceller.
That's rough.
Showed me videos of boy band. I'm just now getting rid of...
Okay.
I think it's fun. I'm on board.
I almost tried to watch it the other day because I finished Bachelorette, and then I was like, no.
It's not for you.
I can't.
I watched one episode, and the thing that I think is so funny is at the very end of it, they say, the boy who is going home, or the boy who didn't do a good job today.
The boy.
And I laughed so hard.
The boy
who disappointed us today.
The boy.
It's so Harry Potter.
How young are the boys?
I mean,
I think 19 is the oldest, and then the youngest is like 14.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably don't even know what their dicks are doing yet.
Well, if
no one's hot to me.
They're no one's hot to you?
They're probably looking down at their own dick like, what the fuck?
I mean, if they were anything like you growing up, watching the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, they'd be rubbing it on the rug.
Goop, yeah, you juice and cum.
Juice and cum and soda. I want to
see.
A messy...
Hot producer joke, can we get away with calling this episode Juice and Cum?
Oh, I'm so honored to have been a part of it.
It's really soda.
Soda and cum. I'm sorry. No.
We should call it Rub the Rug.
Rub the Rug. No, there's literally a podcast called Cum Town. I think we're fine.
What? That's probably a dumb podcast. What is that?
I'm sure it's great. I'm sure
Cum
it's great.
Town?
We don't have to talk it's about true. Cum Town.
It's called Cum Town?
It's called Cum Town. HPJ's heard of it. Yeah.
What's it about?
I don't know. I you know what? I just scroll through and I look at the titles. I'm like, oh, that's a good title. That's a good title.
Look at my king, all dressed in red. I go one day.
Now, before I teased... that Kristen, as one of the writers of Nightly at UCB, might have had a little bit of an exchange or run-in with a certain celebrity who was going to do the show and then disappeared from the schedule.
She absolutely did. She canceled a week before.
Now, I recently got into The Real Housewives of New York. Can we confirm that this person was the Countess herself, Countess Luann?
The former Countess, yes.
The former Countess Luann. Now the former Luann D'Agostino. I guess she's back to Luann de Lesseps.
I know. She lost her title and the husband. That sucks.
Poor thing. But she will never lose her music.
No.
You know what? I'm watching the show now, and I'm not into the Countess. Do you watch the show?
I do. I watch all of them. The only ones I don't watch are, like, Dallas and...
I heard Dallas sucks.
I don't need to see those.
Potomac.
Women. If anyone's, like... clearly not rich. I don't care. Because, like, I don't, that makes me feel sad. And, like, you're putting your life out there in a way that you can never take back.
Right.
But if you're a rich person, you're fine. You're protected by your piles of money.
No matter what.
No, I do watch. And I do like Luann because I think, like, she is a very charming figure. But my favorite person, I mean, I do like Bethany. I do like Carol.
Mm-hmm. I love Carol.
I don't like Ramona.
She is much.
She's a lot. Did you watch Aviva? She's the one who threw her leg off.
No, I haven't seen Aviva. Okay, so I have to tell you, I've only watched season seven in full because I was told that I needed to, because I was going to get into it, but I didn't want to start with season one because, by God, that's a lot.
You don't need to be on board for that.
I was told start with season seven, The Return of Bethany.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And then just catch up to where we are now. So today I started season 8 because I did all of season 7. I just watched all three reunion episodes today.
Oh, that's a lot.
So I've literally watched so much Real Housewives, and I have to tell you, my reactions are, well, I guess I won't even talk about Heather and Kristen because Heather was literally too much, and Kristen, truly, who cares?
Kristen was the worst.
She was the worst, and
she had nail polish. That was all I remember.
She also had the worst catchphrase of all time.
What was it?
What was it?
Pretty is smarter than you think.
Oh,
which is
bitch.
So bad.
You're not smart. If you say that, you're not smart.
Like,
she's bad for Kristen.
So bad. But I do think in my heart of hearts, I probably am Sonia. It's horrifying, isn't it? You don't like Sonia.
No, I do. I have some gossip off the mic about Sonia.
Off the mic.
And I'll
she's teasing
about it.
The listeners.
Let's do on the mic gossip about what went down with Luann with the UCB Night Late episode. What can you say?
This is what I can say. And I can say it all, I think. I met Luann at a party, at Difficult People's party last year.
Yes, yes.
And
Kristen was in Difficult People. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That's another
That's another credit.
Whatever.
Clock the credit,
bitch.
I don't remember things that I've done, but that was a thing that I did. And so I was at this party, and one of the great things about writing for Nightlate is that you could always, like, talk to famous people by saying, oh, come on, do our show. And, and they would always be excited and receptive about this opportunity. And so... So we were at this party, already having a great time, already a little drunk, and then I saw Luann. I was like, I'm going to talk to Luann. Yeah. And Tom was there. This was early in. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even engaged yet. Mm-hmm. And I, like, said hi. And I knew she did improv, because she did improv at the Pit. Did you know
Luann?
Luann did the Pit.
God bless.
She did a class. I think there are probably clips online. She did an improv class. It was maybe something that she wanted to be her story that never made it there. But she, there are people at the pit of all the improv classes. She signed up for the pit.
You know what?
Was she trying to save money? I don't know.
Good for the pit.
That's great.
That's the pit's biggest credit nowadays.
Stop. Okay.
Sorry to shade the pit, but not for nothing. not deserved.
So she took a class at the pit, and so I knew that she already liked improv, and then I was like, okay, well, I'm at UCB, and we have the show, and she was like, I've always wanted to do UCB, so she did the pit, and she wanted to break in at the UCB, which is it happens
like every other.
Happens to everyone.
It happens to so many. Certainly me. And so she wanted to do things at UCB. And I was like, oh, this class or the show, like, will you just invite someone? Your whole late night show. She was super jazzed.
Great.
And so then we proceeded to email back and forth a little bit.
You and her?
Oh, my God.
Me and Luann email.
Oh, my God.
And you were the reason for this connection.
It was totally me. I met her. Okay, I invited her. And so then we kept talking. And I let Eric Cunningham, who created the show, know about it. And Lauren Mandel, who is a producer, they know about it. And they were very excited. And we were kind of open to whatever Luann wanted.
Yep.
And then last winter, she was like, well, you know, I'm getting married. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be busy for these dates. But why don't we have this meeting? And then we can do the show in February, I think. And we were thrilled. And so I, you know, was working. I had a day off on, like, Friday. I made sure to schedule it when we had hiatus. And we did this meeting. And she told us her life story, which is so great. She's basically, like, Forrest Gump for, like, love. Like, she, like, and I said that to her, which was, like, she, like, dates people in very glamorous, interesting situations. And she, like, sort of, like, falls in love with different people. And then she goes wherever she's going to go. So she started as a nurse. And, you know, was dating as a nurse, and then she, like, left that life behind. Like, I think the person that she was with encouraged her to, like, move on. And she went to Italy and hooked up with another guy and then became, like, she says, the Vanna White of Italy. She's like a game show person.
Oh wow, that's insane.
And then she came back. So it was like a really interesting story. And because the show was in February, we were thinking about making it be like about love and about finding love in a later time of your life.
Okay, great.
It was such an entertaining conversation. And then she kept emailing. And then a week before, maybe 2 weeks, it was very early, she could no longer do the show.
Mm-hmm. What was the reason? Okay, yeah.
Because of the trip that she went on to, did they go to Mexico?
Oh, yeah.
So we knew that the trip was coming, but on the show, what the thing that's kind of interesting is that, like, at one point, Bethany thinks that she's going to be coming later with Ramona, and then suddenly Luann says that she's coming early. And so I think that that may have been, like, the reason she was maybe either going to push it off, or then she realized that she didn't want to travel with Ramona, and she came early. But she canceled the show, which was funny.
I mean, a little devastating. I don't know.
It didn't bother me at all. I don't know why. Well, I just thought it was funny.
What was she wanting the show to be? Because, you know, you have, like, with Nightly, you have a theme, you have a concept, you have, like, comedic ideas. Can you share some insight into...
It's really all about love. Like, she was going to cook eggs à la française.
On
stage? She was going to make it on stage, or, like, have, like, a game show where, like, guys would compete to make the best eggs à la française.
Love it.
Which, and also the way that she said it, it was just basically scrambled eggs with tomato sauce. I die.
Eggs a la Francaise.
I die for it. So it was just about, like, love, like, really about love at a later age. And it didn't happen, and I was very busy, and it didn't matter to me personally because I was exhausted. But I'm sure it was devastating to other people, and it certainly sucked for UCB. But she kept emailing because I think she felt guilty. And so she would periodically invite me and Lauren out to events. And we didn't go because I always had work.
You were busy.
But I'm going to follow up now. I'm going to check in now. I'm going to give her space because she's gone through this divorce.
Yeah, right. She certainly is going through it right now.
So I'm going to reach out. She had a gorgeous ring. The ring was enormous.
Okay, I don't watch any of that.
I'm sure she's very personable and lovely in person, and she's very charismatic, obviously.
She was so funny, though, when she was falling into the bushes. Like, that made me love her.
Against all odds, the woman's a star. But the thing is, though...
And to the difficult people.
She causes trouble.
Sure.
Constantly. And I think that is crazy. she's always coming in and saying like, oh, this is insane what that person was saying about you outside. And they're like, what? And they go, I don't know. We should bring her over. Ramona! And then she'll call it over. Yeah. What were you saying about Sonia? And then it'll become a thing.
That's
it's
the
just,
whole thing.
It's so...
Well, I mean...
I guess that means they're a good cast member.
And part that's of that is producer driven. Yeah, there you go. And that's why she keeps coming. But that's probably
and
producer.
And they know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're smart about that. The people who are still there. I feel like when you get someone in their first or second season, they're like a deer in headlights and they mm-hmm. don't know what's happening.
They're gone.
And then they're gone. But that they get it at this point. I mean, Luann's been on the show so long, Ramona's been on the show so long, Bethany, they all know what they're doing.
Yeah, and you know who I live for? Do you watch it at all?
I don't watch it at all.
You need to watch it, and I think you'd be as obsessed with me. Do you know who I live for?
Tinsley?
No,
who?
I don't haven't gotten to Tinsley yet.
Oh my god, yes.
Remember, I've only seen season 7.
You're right.
Dorinda.
Oh, Dorinda's great. Dorinda made it nice.
Is
she made it nice.
Dorinda.
That's what she did.
Is first of all,
she what? She what?
She made it nice.
She made it nice. I see.
First of all, her name is Dorinda.
Of course.
She
have heard legend of Dorinda.
She's
and
great.
Her catchphrase in season 7 is, I give Uptown a whole new attitude. And I don't know what that means.
No.
But yet it is 100% dead on.
What's the attitude?
I give Uptown a whole new attitude. Not clear as to what the attitude was of Uptown prior to Dorinda.
Yep.
But she gave it a new attitude. She's and I'll tell you what it is. It is drunk and righteous. But I live for her.
When she gets drunk, she's really fun.
I live for her because she, when she gets mad, gets truly mad in a way that's not fake for the cameras. Like, sometimes when Bethany gets upset, it's like, okay, Bethany, fuck you. You're, like, definitely performing right now. Like, you're definitely cutting that check.
Yeah.
Dorinda is like, you can go fuck yourself, and anything you can say to me, you go say to your own fucking asshole. How about that?
She's
fucking bitch. She's, like, going in.
She has a Jersey energy.
Yeah. It's such a crazy, you know what? That's why I identify with it. It's because I'm Long Island and she's like got this Jersey energy. Because I believe that I give Long Island a whole new attitude.
She's fantastic. I think of all of them, she and Carol are the ones that I think I would be normal friends with. Like, Carol, being friends. Carol's
I can't
great.
Believe she's on the show.
So she's Carol, the normal person.
Carol Radziwill.
She's the Miranda. Is on the show.
She's like an Emmy winning, Peabody Award winning journalist who was like on the ground in Afghanistan and Iraq. Like, during the first Gulf
War. She suffered, like, real loss.
She's, like, lost her husband, I think, to cancer.
Yes, and then she was friends with Carol Kennedy.
Best friends with Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. And close friends with JFK Jr.
Then have her on the show. I'd love to watch her.
But she's so normal.
Oh. But that's the thing is, it's like, she's not a real housewife.
No. You know,
she's not like a...
But she's a grounding force.
They'll say something insane, and she'll say, I think she's an entryway. Like, you do need your entryway character.
I think this is true. Like, and her talking heads are very essential because, like, you need someone that's on Earth to be on that show.
I need the thinking man's housewife, and it sounds like that's Carol.
Yes, and but it's just shocking to me that someone of her stature...
Would do it and be rewarded by
do it. But I guess they must be paying her.
Oh, sure.
Crazy. Yeah. Because she's been on the show, I guess, for like, what, 4 years?
I think it's like decent money. Like, it's a decent job.
Yeah, it must be.
I had a friend who did the Singles Project.
What was that?
It was for one season. My friend Joey Healy, who is wonderful, he has an eyebrow studio. He did this show on Bravo, like the same people are producing it, where like, they would send these guys out on different dates and you could vote on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week you would see them go out on a date, another date or a different date. And the thing about it is like, I mean, that was like decent money, decent, like, whatever. When he told me that he was going to do it, I was like, do not do this.
Okay.
Because I knew, like, it's like the shady stuff that you say, like, people on TV are going to see, an audience is going to see that and think that you're just mean, you know? They won't have context for you're just being a snot that I love. And he still did it, and of course he was the villain. But the nice thing about that show is that you could see yourself, and so he was able to, like, read whatever.
Oh, so he could, like, watch himself back?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
He could, it was kind every of, week.
Yeah.
Oh,
so he
right,
could,
every week.
He could
yeah,
see
that,
the way
right,
he was
right,
being
that's right,
portrayed
that's right.
and, like, play into I that see, or see, adjust yep. that.
Exactly. Now, and those guys on Real Housewives, those first seasons, they do not, like, the first season, they do not get that chance.
Yeah.
Whenever a show is not as popular in the beginning, like, you get... That's why some people ache for the old seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, because now everyone's always like, well, they're so aware of the cameras.
They know.
Right.
They're so aware of what their narrative arc is coming in. They try to manipulate their own arc.
Totally.
And it makes for bad television. You don't get the kind of things.
You don't care. Yeah.
You don't get the kind of raw natural stuff that you would get from people that weren't as aware of the cameras.
Yeah. Right.
So, and what's the difference between like wanting fame versus like wanting to, you know, like wanting to be an artist.
Right. Or wanting to be on the show that you're on.
Sure, yeah.
So the other night I was watching, last night I was watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes.
Which I haven't seen.
Okay. I'm fully in Bachelor Nation now, and it makes me so sick to my stomach, Kristen, but I am, and I
can't stop. I
watched
part of the Rachel's season.
Mm. I can't stop. So after that show, I was watching The Gong Show.
And I've seen insane.
It's fully insane, and I saw a friend of mine from college on The Gong Show get gonged.
Oh, no.
And then I messaged you about it? I was like, I messaged Bowen about it, and he goes, well, I guess a lot of us end up on game shows, which we know something about, don't we, Kristen?
Oh, absolutely.
You both?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't put this together. You're both millionaire contestants.
We're both millionaire alum.
It's so funny. It's such a funny thing.
Yeah, and we both have met Chris Harrison, haven't we?
We have. When I met Chris Harrison, I was on two episodes.
Yeah, same. You were much more of a hit with him than I was, I'll tell you that.
I did get him. I will tell you this. And the thing about those shows is that you have to have your sappy story.
Yeah.
Because if you have, like, a story, they friggin' fall in love with you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a funny thing. And I had my story, which was my dad had died, blah, blah, blah. I've talked about it a million times. But my mom and my dad had always planned on, like, traveling the world together. And then when he retired, and then that didn't get to happen, so I was going to use this money to take her on a trip.
Gorgeous.
So the audience fucking loved it.
Of course.
They loved it so much, and he loved it too because he's just trying to make good TV. So I really did hit it off with him. And when the cameras like got on me, I turned into this insane like showbiz nut. Like I was basically
just fine.
But it was like, I was like kind of calm and whatever. And then suddenly it was like my accent. I'm from North Carolina. It was like in full force. It was like,
yeah.
Okay, honey, well, this is what I think. And it was insanity. And I went crazy. And I had a Disney question in there too, which Jason, so the reason that we did this, and I didn't want to do it because I kind of like to control like how I appear in the world.
Of course.
And I didn't want to do, I didn't want to do a game show because I don't know a lot of things and I do know a lot about a little. And if I got like a question about Cracker Barrel, I could be like, this is what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I got a question about like anything that happens in the Middle East, then I would be like, no,
yep,
I'm sorry.
I'm
a dummy and I just spent a lot of money on improv classes.
Yep.
But thankfully, so Jason and I went to take the test because he's very good at trivia.
Mm.
And I encouraged him to do it and he was like, will you come do it with me? And I passed and he did not pass.
Oh, Jason.
I know. He believes very strongly because Alex French told him. Alex French was taking the test at the same time.
Yes.
I heard that if you do too well on the test and they do not pick you.
See, I actually had a conversation with the producers about this and they said, they would have no reason to lie to me. They said, absolutely, this is not true. And I'm also going to put my friend that came with me on blast.
Sudie
Green did not pass the test either. She did not pass
wonderful.
The test. And it was so funny because
it's not easy.
It was so funny because we did the show and then she came on the show as my plus one and we had this whole like
charm.
Fucking routine moment where we like waka 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 and just like did this like insane routine and then got a question right and jumped for joy and like they loved her on camera.
Yeah.
So they came, the producers came over to us after and they were like, Sudie, do you want to take the test? Because we never do this, but you were so great. We'd love to have you on. She was like, I don't know, with work, like I don't know. And she was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll take the test. And she's going to be mad for me saying this.
But I'm going to say the
same little
thing about
bit, Jason, a little right? bit, a little bit, her energy was like, oh, now I'm going to pass this test. And like, they're going to call me. And like, I'm going to come back. And they came back and said, Sudie, we're sorry. You didn't pass the test. And she was like, what? And then we left and we got so fucking wasted on Bloody Marys and
so
now
funny.
She can't drink Bloody Marys anymore.
Oh, it was that bad.
You ruined Bloody Marys.
That same thing happened. So
which is so shitty because I make such a good one.
You do.
That same thing happened to Jason. So we went and he didn't pass the test and Alex Rich told him this and so he walked away like, well, that's what happened. I was smarter than all of you.
I was too good.
Then he had to go. It was at the ABC studios. He had to go wait for me. And so I kept going to the next level. Like, I had to meet the producers, pass that. And then I had to do an on-camera audition. And they just want you to be cute and stupid.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I went and I did the show. And I was cute and stupid.
Cute and stupid.
And then there was a Disney question that I was, like, half on the fence about, which was...
What was it? Yeah.
This Disney World ride has XYZ animated characters. And at the end of it, there is a key... a dog has a key in its mouth.
Pirates.
Great. So some of the examples were Small World and Pirates, and I felt pretty sure that it was Pirates, but it was that limit.
You didn't know this?
Okay, well, let's hear her out.
You know that Jason's more into this than me.
You go fuck yourself.
But here's the thing. I was like, I feel pretty good about it. And you're also so hopped up on adrenaline.
Yeah,
insanity.
It's crazy.
You're out of your brain. I was fully like a total different person on the show and like completely out of myself. So I called Jason as my plus one. And so he had this big moment. And when the lights like came on, he did this like face like, oh, it's me.
yep.
And so then he came running down. And then we were real cute together.
Yeah,
and then Jason, of course, had the answer right. So he felt like a fucking king.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and then we kissed on camera and everyone screamed and went crazy. And then, I ended up winning $20,000. It was decent money.
Congrats. I tell you, I was so, and I actually messaged you beforehand. I was like, any advice? And you gave me advice. And I was like, literally, my goal is $20,000. I got to the $20,000 question, narrowed it down to two, and I guessed the wrong one out of the two.
That's brutal.
Devastating. It really was.
I got the hell out. As soon as I got a question that required like actual knowledge of history, it was about a waltz by Strauss. I was like, goodbye. I am taking my $20,000.
Mine was a spelling question. It was fucking crazy. Also,
the spelling of Ebenezer?
But
Scrooge?
It was a really fucked up way to ask that question. It was like, what is the correct spelling of the protagonist of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens? And I thought, when the question came up, I was like, okay, well, they didn't say the name Ebenezer in the question because there's going to be more than one name up there. They gave four different spellings of Ebenezer. And I believe I'm repeating myself with the story on the podcast.
I don't care about it. It's fine.
So, but anyway, like, it was Ebenezer. And Ebenezer.
I think it's the one E, right?
It is the one E, but you know your
People
boy went for the second.
E.
And it was
it's
one of
so
those things.
Hard, though.
It's hard.
It was one of those things where it leaves your mouth and you're like, that's wrong, but I'm still doing
Ooh.
It.
Yeah.
Like, and I just.
It's so hard.
It was so
You are fully out of your body. And this, I did the second episode with him. And at that point, we had become friends. And I hugged him. And they had to stop the frame. Like, we went in. Like, I like came out.
Chris Harrison?
Yeah. So I came out. And Chris Harrison held up his arms for a hug. And I was like, oh, we're friends now. He was like, yeah. And it was funny because it just happened. And also, I'm going to go back to that. But I hugged him and my makeup left my face and went right onto his suit. I sweated my makeup off onto him. And they had to stop it. And I immediately said, oh, I bet none of the Bachelorettes has ever sweated her face off onto you. And I was like, that's never happened. You're right.
Oh, that's cute.
But my God.
One thing they did was like they put us in game show jail. Like what? Because it was
they
too,
did the same thing to us.
Sucks. It was like one episode before lunch and one after lunch. And so they held us like
in a small room. Yeah.
Beside each other. We weren't allowed to talk.
Yep.
And so I ended up doing like the knock, like the da 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 da, and Jason did it. And then we just laughed really, 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 really hard for a very long time that we were doing this. It's the dumbest thing to do.
It was so insane. Also, I will say, I am, now that I'm in Bachelor Nation and now that I love
you relate
Bachelor
to
Nation
those ladies
so far,
though, right? The things that they do to them?
I'm so gagged that I met Chris Harrison and and I just treated him like a person standing in front of me. Not that I think he literally does anything special, literally at all.
I don't think so, honey, to him.
I did. I don't think
so,
to him, because
very
I
funny.
Do think that he doesn't do anything
okay.
On the show. But he truly didn't like me.
How do you know?
Because I messed up an entrance.
Oh.
I messed up an entrance.
You can't waste
when
his
I was
time.
Coming from my yeah.
Ugh.
And he you can there's it's on YouTube, like maybe I'll post it later and I'll just be like, you know what this is. But when he shook my hand after I had messed up the entrance when I did my real entrance, he Trump handshaked me.
It was like
he took my hand and pulled me in, like, and it was like
a threat.
It was crazy, and you can see on my face when I come around to the podium that I'm like not feeling it.
That sucks.
It was weird.
That is so stressful.
God. He struck me as someone that
straight men
doesn't
do
live
that
doesn't
Did
live
you have
his
a
dream.
I mean,
wow.
Did you have a producer assigned to you as well? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that weird?
No, I loved him.
Oh.
And it was weird.
They try to become your best friend, and then that's what they're doing to the Bachelorettes.
Yeah, and actually, I'm. Oh.
That's what they're doing.
So
to
I mentioned this. I mentioned it was while I was watching Unreal.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that show to the producers of
Did
that
get
show.
Mad?
And they just were like, don't talk about that show.
Yes.
Wow.
It is so real. Like, that, mine was very nice, but she acted like an insane best friend. Like, you feel like after this meeting, we are going to hang out for the rest of our lives.
Did you friend request them on Facebook? Because I did, and he did not respond.
I didn't do that, but I get it. Because I do act like your friend. And then at one point, what I had to do was, right before we went on, she was, too much in my face. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to need to go off on my own for, a couple minutes. I totally got this. Because they're assigned to people to make them not freak out. But we don't need that. We're not going to freak out.
Right.
No.
And it was
specifically.
It was this intense friend in your face that I couldn't handle.
For me, I actually was acting kind of crazy. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why, but it did make me really nervous. And I when I watch it back, I kind of am disappointed in myself because on the episode, not for how I did, I just went into my shell in a very high school
You butched
way.
Up a little bit. You
like
think?
I butched up in a way that that I look at myself doing that episode and I'm like, wow, that is. Not and I just I was watching it and I was like, that's I can see myself going into my shell there.
It's your face. I went into my Paula Deen type person.
right.
It's your face to make people love you.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I thought that would make me cooler to the audience.
But
distract me while I was playing. What distracted me was how insane the experience was. But we also were doing it in Vegas. I know
we shot it in Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Lovely.
We went out to Vegas.
The only other studio was the People's Court, and we wanted to go there.
Yes.
So bad, but yeah, we weren't in Vegas. And Vegas is cool, though. I mean, it's cool that you went to Vegas.
It was awesome. It was so fun. And thank God they asked us to block off 2 days, and we ended up shooting on the first day. So it wasn't a big deal.
So you could hang out the next.
Yeah, but we hung out the whole day the next day, and that's when Sudi became Bloody Mary intolerant.
Man, I didn't know
it's
about
fun,
this Bloody
though.
Mary part.
Oh, okay, so we basically were at the pool at the Mandalay Bay all day because we had the whole day off and I had just won $5,000. So
yes.
it was kinda like the trip was fully free.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So we're just kinda living at the pool.
Yeah.
Drinking all day. Sudi and I we hadn't really gotten to spend a lot of time together because she had been so busy with work.
Yeah.
So it was this vacation that we had never taken that we had never taken together.
Barbar.
You're a barbar. You're a stupid. Literally, you're so stupid. And you are such a dumb queer, and you can't even say Barbara Streisand, who is an icon and you should be revering, and you can't
I
even
can't
say
believe
it.
You
should
that be revering.
So don't.
Tooken
is going so hard right now.
Don't even talk to me ever again.
Oh my God.
So anyway, I was at the pool with my best friend, Judy, and we were drinking. And that it was that situation where you're you're drunk,
yeah,
and you're outside and you're in the water and you think one more.
And
the one more that you choose after fucking gin and tonics and whatever is a Bloody Mary.
Oh.
No.
And we had tickets to see Zoomanity, which is a sexy sexy Cirque du Soleil show. And we said
with animals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Animals,
God.
And humans fucking in midair. I don't know. We were warned that it would be sexy.
It's disgusting.
It was okay, we'll meet in a little bit. Or she's like, I was like, you go to bed. And honestly, she passed the fuck out. And then I went to the all-you-can-eat buffet by myself.
Yeah, you texted
me. That you recommended.
That's because when I go to Vegas, this is the situation.
Buffets.
I don't gamble.
Uh-huh.
Well, I will, but $50,
yeah,
and that's about
yeah.
it. What I really spend my money on, Jason and I made money the last time because they
yep.
two people found us, and they were CBS or some sort of survey people found us, and they were like, would you like to come watch a CBS show for $50? And we were yes, we would.
Oh, wow.
And so we left our vacation to go watch this dumb CBS show about zombies. They were taking it was so bad. It was like normal zombies on your street to a zombie that you know.
Okay, okay.
People that you know that died.
Yeah, sure.
And we had to, like, do the little dials. And, like, that was, like, the best Vegas experience. And what we – so I like doing dumb shit in Vegas. And I like eating at buffets. And the best buffet is Bacchanal. And if you – and I think you went to a different one. That's okay because
yeah, I didn't go to Bacchanal because I would have remembered if I went to Bacchanal.
You can yell bit. If you go at, like, 3 o'clock, like, that's when lunch ends. And then it turns into dinner. So you pay for the lunch and then you eat the dinner.
Wow.
What?
You – that is a life hack of the year.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
Pay for lunch, eat your dinner at Bacchanal.
Oh.
It's expensive. That shit's like $50.
Also, I will say, what we were watching on TV while that was happening was the RNC.
Oh.
That was literally the day, the like couple days of the RNC.
Jesus.
And we were watching it like, God damn, this is so fucking insane. Good
and
thing,
trusting
good
that nothing
thing
would
this will
happen.
Never happen.
Yeah.
Because at the RNC, that was when they were like jumping ship on him.
And yeah. Like Melania, a fucking thing. Oh.
Yeah, she plagiarized. Yeah.
Here's the tea I just want to say really quickly. Sudi Green gets really motherfucking drunk. And we
I
love
feel
her
so
for
bad
it.
For Sudi. She's been talking
no,
about
she
she's
doesn't
my
get
favorite.
Drunk. She gets very tired.
No, she gets drunk.
No, she has two or three drinks and then the bitch is tired.
You and I in Charleston saw her vomit out of an Uber.
She throws up a lot.
She throws up.
Oh, that's so good to know.
And we
she's going to want to come back on the show and vindicate herself.
We'll bring her back on and she can
speak
to us.
She has an open invitation.
She does.
I have never seen her vomit. I have been around her when she's drunk. One of my favorite things about Sudi when she's drinking is that she's very honest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's biting honesty.
It's biting honesty. And she keeps that honesty when she's sober as well. I would
totally
say.
But I think it's like free and flying and then you find it like you know fully where she stands.
Yes.
And
she's
I
the
it's,
best person
it's
in the world.
Endearing and wonderful.
It's endearing and wonderful. Oh, before we forget, let me just read off this episode's culture rule submitted by a user. Oh God, my Facebook is fritzing out, but I think I have it. Sorry, just wait, guys, fill in the silence while I find this.
No, we
Luann,
refuse.
Luann.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Luann, but I mean, here's the deal with Real Housewives. I feel like I see myself in all of them.
That is so funny.
And that's shocking. And I realized today while I was watching the reunion, I was like, I don't dislike any of them, but I know that Luann is a Trump. I know she's
you,
a Trump.
You have disseminated this information.
She went to that party, though. She went to Carol's party.
She's a fucking Trump.
How
she was also seen at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh.
Well, that sucks. Well. But
and she also won't say who she voted for, which is you're a Trump.
If you don't say who you voted for, you
I bet Luann is a Trump. I bet Ramona's a Trump.
Ramona definitely is because she said so.
That
she
sucks.
Said so?
That yeah. sucks.
Oh, my God. So get ready. In this new season, you're going to see Carol throw an election night party back when we all thought that Hillary Clinton would win.
Oh.
And you see her, and it's so full of hope, and you live the day over again.
No.
And you see this crushing defeat. And she has, like, a fight with Ramona leading up to the party because Ramona says that Trump had some good ideas. And he's not so bad.
All right. Ramona's dead to me now.
Yeah. And so they fight about it, and Carol won't let her come to the party. And then eventually, I think she maybe does come to the party. Oh, this could be bad information that I'm spreading. But they have a face-off, and Ramona is somehow, like, she isn't – she could be smug, and she isn't. But she's definitely a Trump, and Carol is definitely a Hillary.
Yeah, I 100% believe that Carol votes for Hillary. I think here's who's Trump. Luann is Trump, Ramona's Trump, and I think Sonia.
I don't think Sonia voted.
I think Sonia either didn't vote yeah. or is a Trump because she's not that smart. And I
yeah.
think that Carol obviously voted for Hillary. I think Bethany has the sense to vote for Hillary.
Sure.
I think.
Oh, and Bethany hates Omarosa.
Right. Oh, my God. Wait. Have you ever seen Bethany and Omarosa's interview on Bethany's talk show?
No.
Oh,
you
fantastic.
Must go back.
Omarosa's fucking garbage and Bethany's also kind of garbage.
You know Bethany did Martha Stewart Apprentice.
Yes.
Oh, right.
So she has apprentice experience as well.
Wow.
And what happened with her is that she said that she was just going to fake it until you make it. And Martha got furious and said that you must never fake it. And that's not part of her business.
Literally,
she was out.
They both were talking about nothing.
Yeah, like both of them are fucking rich as hell. Like they don't have to work for anything in their lives. Okay, this is our user-submitted culture.
That's incendiary.
What is?
To say Martha Stewart's never had to work for anything in her life.
Martha Stewart works very hard.
She works very hard, but look, I mean, this whole Snoop Dogg thing is great. I think it's actually quite lovely.
She loves weed, too.
She loves weed. I watched...
Does she?
Yeah, she...
I would love to get lit with Martha Stewart?
I don't know.
I think she's great.
I had to Google videos of how to fold a fitted bed sheet.
Never. You'll never learn.
I learned. I learned, you fuckers. But Martha Stewart came up, and she was just... She brought someone from the audience to come and try to fold it, and she really exploited that audience member. And I will never forgive Martha Stewart.
In like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire way.
Absolutely. She was the Chris Harrison shaking the hand. This is user-submitted culture, rule number 402 of culture.
That's too many. Guys,
stop.
Put it down.
No.
It's too high sometimes. Pause. who made this? Who made this?
Julie Wonderlin.
Julie Wonderlin, listen. We don't have that many rules.
Yes, there are. We have plenty of rules.
We're trying to put a book together.
No. that's not real. Hold on. This is Julie Wonderland's rule number 402 of culture. If you don't think party in the USA is a bop, we can't be friends. Agree.
I do agree. But someone recently came for that song, and I was like, what the fuck is your problem? And someone actually... That was a Los Culturistas listener.
What?
Was like, party in the USA sucks.
Oh.
In some context, I saw this and I was like, I think that person has to be told to go.
Told to go. Kristen, thoughts on Party in the USA?
Oh, I love it.
Okay, good.
But I'm a Miley fan.
See, I'm
you
not.
You like when she goes like this? Yeah. That's the hook of the song.
It's so good.
It's a great song.
No, and I love Wrecking Ball.
Wrecking Ball's
love
good.
Love Wrecking Ball. Wonderful.
I like Honesty.
She's okay.
I like all of Miley's songs until... I'm not crazy about Malibu.
Well, yeah, it's just her, like, doing the whole...
I liked her more. Malibu. For real, I liked her more when she was appropriating other people's culture. I feel that way.
Oh! Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, no, I think it was more entertaining.
Was she doing that?
Uh-oh.
Well, we can get into this some other time.
To some degree, but I like her.
And she was sort of doing that with the drag queens as well.
Was she doing that more than every other pop star?
No, she wasn't the first.
Was she doing it worse than Katy Perry?
No.
Or?
No.
She wasn't doing the Gwen Stefani thing of like, I'm going to sing like you in my... Like, that was despicable. She never got to that level.
I kind of, quite frankly, feel like Miley...
I liked her
does life. Pretty much what everyone else does, but gets it yeah, worse.
But also Miley, and I will never forgive her for this, back during her like Auburn hair bullshit days, took a picture with an Asian guy.
And did the eyes.
And I'm like, you're dead. Yeah.
Yikes.
I didn't
remember that until you just said
that. Really sucks, and there's no excuse. Just because you're from Tennessee doesn't mean that you get to do that.
There you go. But Julie Wonderland's rule number 402 of culture still applies. Let's say it together. If you don't think Party in the USA is a bop, we can't be friends.
Unfortunately, right. That's probably going to end a lot of friendships, I think.
That's fine, but those friendships
will say that. I denounce you if you voted for Trump, and I denounce you if you don't like Party in the USA and don't think it's a quote-unquote bop, although I also do denounce the term bop being this thing that everyone is saying now.
Ooh.
I don't like it. I don't like the way it sounds, bop.
Okay. Bar.
I think it's trying too hard.
I think that's the title of it. It can't be soda.
I think
and
it's bar.
Parentheses soda and cum.
No. Bar parentheses stupid parentheses dumbass queen. No. And we should all.
Then we're gonna think people are gonna think that's we're calling Kristen a queen, a dumbass.
No,
queen.
That's not what they're gonna think. That's your dumbass thinking that they're gonna say that.
I do like that's your dumbass.
That's your dumbass.
Okay. Here's the title of the episode. That's your dumbass, and all the yours in capitals. That's your dumbass.
I don't know. I'm not signing off on
it. I sign off on it. And as the executive in the contract, because Los Culturistas has a contract, and it says in the contract, Matt Rogers is actually the executive.
No.
Do you really have a contract?
Yes, we do have a contract, Kristen.
Oh, my God.
But it's bar.
Do you have a friendship contract?
We do have a friendship contract.
We do. And it says that Matt is the executive of the
You're
friendship.
You're awesome, the executive.
I'm allowed to cancel the friendship and, you know, I dictate the terms.
It's bar. Soda and cum.
No.
That's it.
I will say this. In the last line of the contract of me and Bowen's friendship is Matt is the last thing that Bowen will ever see. I will look into his eyes and watch the light leave them. I will.
I also assumed pillow.
A pillow, yeah.
It doesn't have to be a pillow.
Sure.
You're not going to smother me?
No.
You're going to poison me.
I don't even have to be the one that kills you. I'd have to be the one, the last thing you ever see.
Okay, okay.
I think if you are out there and you're trying to kill Bowen, just let me know so I can be there.
We should like hash out the actual wording of this.
Also, you know that Bowen has a lot of murderous intent on his Facebook.
I do, and I'm, you know what, maybe I'm going to go to jail.
You should
for
delete
it.
That shit.
I will. Thank you, Matt, for even immortalizing that even further on an audio podcast.
No, it's cut.
No, we can keep it. Guys, let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay. I Don't Think So, Honey is a segment of our podcast where we rail against culture for 1 minute, specific items of culture that are really giving us some trouble and making us think, I don't like that very much. You may have been at our last live show, I Don't Think So, Honey, and I think as of today, you guys, you can head on over to Spoke and listen to the live episode of I Don't Think So, Honey, which is exclusive on Spoke right now. In just 2 weeks, you're going to be able to hear it on our channel and everywhere podcasts are heard.
Oh my God.
But right now, you can head on over to Spoke and listen to all that goodness. Listen to Kristen Bartlett rail against thin people.
Yeah, I'm done.
And it's crazy. Just days later, you're going to be asked to do another I Don't Think So, Honey right now.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, but we'll go
it's
first.
A lot, but we're going to do it.
To warm everybody up.
And it's not going to be me that goes first.
All right, I guess it'll be me.
It'll be you.
I have a couple options here.
Okay, well, you better decide.
Okay, no, you know what? Yeah. It's going to be a little inside baseball, but I'm going to do it.
I have two options too. It's weird.
But okay. I'll go, I know mine. I think I know what I'm going to do. Okay,
this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and your time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, background actors who go straight to Crafty and take all the food before I can even get my hands on a cracker. I Don't Think So, Honey, this was insane. Look, I mean, we're all in the same industry. It's fine. We're all, you know, hawking food. We're all trying to get as much food as we can when it's provided to us for free. But I don't think so, honey. You people who just, you are the definition of these little freeloaders. You're little freeloaders. I don't think so, honey.
30 seconds.
I don't think so, honey. Listen, my name is on the call sheet, okay? So you better let me get that grape. That's right, I said. I don't think so, honey. People who are going to come for me for having call sheet elitism, this is warranted. I worked
seconds.
Hard for this. I worked hard to go to Crafty before background people go and steal all the food, and I have nothing left but little scraps of shit, scraps of fucking
Five
brownies
seconds.
That are overrated, by the way. Brownies overrated. I'll get to that some other time. I don't think so, honey. Background extras
That's
who
one
go
minute.
To Crafty.
That's 1 minute. That's quite enough. Okay. Well, I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay, and this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People who are on the call street that think that makes you a better human and that means you should be able to go to the food before anyone else. What the fuck is this? This is some Trump-ass nationalism. This is caste. This is call sheet nationalism.
No.
This is you thinking that you...
You even know. Yes,
I do know. And also, Bowen booked a movie. We have to record this episode at 9 p.m. tonight because Bowen was on set and it ran late. Oh, no. Bowen didn't get
seconds.
To eat because he's in a movie with Rebel Wilson, big star.
Ooh.
Oh, Liam Hemsworth's in the movie. Priyanka Chopra's in the movie. Guess what? Bowen says she's prettier in person. Oh. Bowen didn't get to 15 eat.
Seconds.
Poor Bowen's getting the check but didn't get to eat. The background bitch who's been standing up for 20 hours on a goddamn feet got to eat and Bowen didn't get to eat. Oh, no. We'll get a
Five
line in
seconds.
The movie. His sag ass. S-A-G, Screen Actors Guild. Bitch, fuck Bowen Yang. I don't think so, honey. You should go fuck yourself, you dumbass queer. You can't even say bar bar. You can't even say bar bar.
You are so hateful to
me. I am hateful towards you because you believe that you are amongst the elite.
No,
I believe that you are amongst the elite and you should eat whatever you feel.
I am no better than the background actors, but when it comes to food, I should at least get first pass.
That is equivalent to Trump saying both sides.
No!
You say, I'm no better than the background actors, but they shouldn't dare eat before before me is some both sides nonsense. You should be ashamed of this. I don't think so, honey. It will live in infamy.
You know who else likes both sides is one Joni fucking Mitchell.
I don't give a fuck about that. How dare you appropriate the words of Joni Mitchell? That is not what she's talking about.
You're appropriating my words,
sweetie. She's talking about her goddamn abortion. She's talking about her goddamn life. And that is a song that will be sung at funerals and was sung by Sarah Bareilles at the In Memoriam of the Oscars. And Carrie Fisher died to that song. And you should burn. And how dare you come into this episode tonight with your goddamn mispronunciation of Barbara Streisand with Barbar.
Never.
And continue to spit in the face of young, hardworking actors who are not yet SAG, who are simply on the shoot because they love film and they want to help, and they haven't yet gotten to the position where they're on the call sheet, and you spit in their... You spit in their non-SAG-AFTRA faces today. And I hope that everyone out there that is a background actor knows that it is I, Matt Rogers, who stands beside you. And you should be ashamed. You will live in infamy.
Okay. All right. Well, and I have no rebuttal to that.
You don't. Unfortunately, your time is up.
My time is up.
And you said that would be inside baseball. Guess what? It was inside wrong.
Oh, what? It was so strong. It was so strong. And then the end.
Didn't stick the landing.
It was inside.
Okay,
wrong.
This is going to be Kristen Bartlett's I Don't Think So, honey. I can't wait for this.
Can't possibly compare.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Nope. This is Kristen Bartlett's I Don't Think So, honey. And her time starts now.
I do not think so, honey. When your favorite products get discontinued.
Yes.
I'm so sorry, but I have emailed Prescriptives Makeup 2 times in the past month because my favorite foundation, Comfort Cream, is no longer being made.
Ooh.
And it really makes me mad. And the first time they emailed me back and they said, we don't know when it's going to be back. And the second time they did not even respond.
How dare!
Which means I have to move on and find another moisturizer.
No.
And you know what? I didn't buy another one of their brands. I bought La Mer. I paid $85. And that's how I feel, Prescriptives. I said no to your other brands. I am going to go and pay more to something that is completely untested. And you know what else is not in existence anymore?
What?
The original beef stick. It's totally a different
recipe. Oh, no. 50 seconds.
I don't think so. That Hickory Farms took what was good and holy about a beef stick, and they completely changed it, and they're lying to you, and it's horseshit. I don't think so. If people love your products, then you always need to provide them like they are.
That's 1 minute.
Oh, wow.
Woo-da-loo-la-loo.
That was epic. That was epic. Oh my god, you're a La Mer motherfucker.
That's what
now.
I just bought. I don't know what's gonna happen to me. I ordered it from Sephora.
Oh, Cher loves it. If it works for Cher, it works for you.
I think
I'm getting
get
older and I think it's fine. I think it's time. Like, I feel like if you reach your 30s and you need to pay more.
There you
You've
go.
You've seen the world from both sides.
I have
now.
Seen it from both sides, and I'm gonna get Botox.
Get Botox, and then Pond's cold cream is like the quintessential woman, like adult face cream.
What do you want to do? Just a little lift?
I don't really care about this. It's the wrinkles on my forehead.
Oh, I didn't even
You don't
notice.
Have any wrinkles.
You're so sweet
no,
not to notice.
You have not one wrinkle.
I
and
do,
I think
and
that
I love
this is,
it. It's
this
right
is
here.
Crazy that you say this.
Okay,
it's right here.
Okay.
And I also have a laugh. But
you
I'm
laugh lines?
Cool with the laugh lines because they're a reason. But this, I didn't do anything
but you would,
for.
But you would do a little boutique for
I
this.
I totally would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like you're starting to see, like, I'm starting to see, like, other comedy women heroes.
Yes.
And I realize that they're really getting work done. And I'm like, oh, I probably need to get some work done.
You know what? Do it. You know who I think is getting some work done? And I'm not saying this pejoratively. I think it's Mindy Kaling. And she's looking great.
She looks fantastic.
She looks fantastic.
I'm sure she's getting work done.
I think
done.
She's getting some nice.
Everybody does.
I think literally everyone gets work
totally,
done.
Totally.
And I'm just a writer, but I still would get it done.
Oh, but you are empowered to get it done.
I'm getting a new face. I'm getting a new face, and it will be Bowen's face.
What would you do?
And I will get Bowen's face, and then everyone will be like, Bowen, hi. And I'll be like, hello. And I will live as you.
And how will you treat background people on shoots?
Like shit.
Well, let's just say your reputation will turn around.
Wow.
Oh.
And positively.
Yes.
Okay,
that's
good.
Kind of nice.
I like
He's
that.
They'll be treated as the kings and they'll be treated as the kings and queens that they are.
They
wow,
are
that's
not.
Gorgeous.
They're not. And I don't
you
care.
You trust him.
Listen, I have done background and I was dumb and I shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't waste your time. You're not going to make any money.
You will make $200.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, and they keep you in holding, and it's just.
You're going to just stay around with these other bullshit people that don't make any sense.
Who are, frankly, a little off.
Everybody's weird.
This
They're
is crazy.
Weird. If you have time to do background, What are you doing? I question your life.
Wow. You guys come for the Background Actress of America, and I stand beside you. And I think that's...
I've done background, and I know.
There you go.
And I could only do it on the weekends, and I got very excited because I had a line, and that shit got cut because it was a waste of my time.
And what a letdown. And look, Kristen has been... has seen it from both sides now.
Yes, you've seen it from both sides now. On the call sheet and as a background.
It's true.
It's true.
I was kind of maybe like high up on that call sheet. Sometimes when your last name is Bartlett, sometimes you get lucky.
But hey, doesn't get as good as me on that call sheet. Ooh, I love that. I love that so much. I'm obviously joking. I do not think in those terms at all.
He literally, as he's saying he's joking, he made a jack-off motion.
No, I didn't.
He has become...
a monster.
Big-headed.
No, when it comes to food, like, that's fair. Like, it's I get annoyed that the bride and groom get to eat before everybody else. Bitch, what did you do?
What?
We came to see your wedding. And at my wedding, I fed everybody else, and then we went up there.
That's
insane.
Kristen. That's
I believe
that's
it.
Generous. That was your day. You should have eaten first.
No way.
But she's a caretaker. She took care of her.
Exactly.
There you go.
Both sides now. From up apart. And still somehow...
This was about her abortion? I had no idea.
I don't think
apparently
this is,
it was.
No, her other songs.
Take
are
us
about.
Out while I hum the tune. No, say the credits of the show.
Oh, okay. God. My name is Bowen Yang. That's Matt Rogers. Kristen Bartlett was our guest this episode. This was a fantastic episode, Kristen.
I love Thank Kristen.
You. Aww, you
Thank
guys
you
are
so
great.
Much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit foreverdogproductions.com.